My name is Marlene Hattie. I'm one of the deacons here at Footscray Baptist Multicultural Church. I'd like to call everyone to our worship service today. Worship is deeper than words. God actively seeks our worship. Worship is our response to his seeking love, and it happens when God's Spirit touches our spirit and that very special connection happens. I'd like to read from Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25. God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. And because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed our selfish feelings and desires. God's Spirit has given us life, and so we should follow the Spirit. This is the word of our Lord. Christian love is not a feeling, but a lifestyle. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow in his steps. This morning, Kathy will be bringing our message on cultivating character and being people of integrity. I'd like to invite the congregation to read together the words in bold print, a blessing of the whole person, which is up on your screen. The blessing of the whole person. God, our Creator, you have made each one of us in every part. Bless us through and through, that we may delight to serve you to the full. Bless our eyes, that we may discern the beauty you give. Bless our ears, that we may hear you in the music of sounds. Bless our sense of smell, that your fragrance may fill our being. Bless our lips, that we may speak your truth and sing your joy. Bless our hands, that they may play, write, and touch as you guide them. Bless our feet, that they may be messengers of your peace. Bless our imaginations, that we may be fired with wonder in your truth. Bless our hearts, that they may be filled with your love. Bless us through and through, that we may delight to serve you to the full through Jesus Christ, who took our nature to make us whole. Amen. Now let us pray together in preparation for our service. Father, your people have come here to worship. They have come from differing situations with many differing needs. We ask that in this service you will meet with them and deal with those needs. Keep not only our ears, but also our hearts and minds open. For it is in this way that we can receive your power and strength. Father, we pray that you will be with each person taking part in leading this service. May they be humble. May they be clear. May they do your will. May they know that you are guiding them. Amen. We will now praise God in song.
Well, my dear friends, you are the choir again today. Will you stand with me? Do you know what? This is an oldie, isn't it? We don't often sing We don't often sing these old songs, but these are the words of praise of those who have come before us. So let's sing it with gusto. Beautiful old hymn. Crown him with many crowns. Here we go.
Crown him with many crowns.
Amen. Take a seat, my friends.
It's great to welcome everybody here this morning. And Paul and Wenda are back from their holidays. I hope you're well refreshed, and it's great to see you back with us today. If you're visiting us here today, you are very, very welcome. I know that Boy and Hermes' son and his girlfriend are with us, and that is just lovely. I hope I haven't got that wrong, though. It's great to see you both. If you're another visitor, please know that this is a place that you can enjoy being with the fellowship here and in the presence of God to worship today. It's my great pleasure to welcome Kathy Baxter as our preacher today. Kathy took a session with all the leaders of the church, the deacons and the transition team leaders, a couple of months ago, about Christian character. And for that group, it was specifically for leaders. And today, Kathy is going to preach on one of the texts that she used that time. And I think you will find it a great blessing, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say to all of us a bit later on, Kathy. We are fortunate people indeed. When we go through tough times, we have a resource that is deeper than human understanding, and that is the gift of the peace of God, the peace of Christ. Christ gave his peace to his first followers at a time he knew would be difficult for them. And he continues to give his disciples, his followers, you and I, his peace today. We pass the peace to one another as part of our welcome here at Footscray Baptist Church. So let me first greet you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please greet one another.
Kia Riddell and Kathy will be, do you want to do that now?
Good morning, everyone. I'm wanting you to go home today and go into your junk room, if you've got one. I've got one, it's a goodie, it's revolting. And I want you to hunt out all your old mobile phones that you don't use anymore, if you have such a thing, because we are going to be collecting them for the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. They are very keen to get their hands on old mobile phones that we don't use, and they can use them. So I'm happy to be the person to collect them from you. We do need the chargers with the phones, though, so if you've only got a phone and not a charger to match, don't bother bringing it because they can't use it. But if you have got old phones and you would love to get rid of them, and that's one less thing in your junk room that you can get rid of, then please bring them and I'll happily take them off your hands. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This coming Sunday, I'd like to invite everyone after the church. We will have a church picnic quickly, and then we will be heading to our new manse to for our dedication for the month's house blessing, and for us to see what the church acquired since we all started this one. I'd like you to also see and be part of this presentation, and I encourage everyone to be there. Thank you.
Yeah, exciting to see that the first time, isn't it? The new mass, I thought.
This will happen next week after the church.
Yeah, we all have fellowship there after the worship service. Hopefully we get a better weather. Now, just a couple of administrative work again. Next Sunday, too, we're going to have our special members meeting, voting on a couple of recommendations already on your church bulletin. So just, yes, make yourself available on that after the worship service. We're going to make a decision on those two recommendations. And also, I've been giving out forms for our church directory. I will appreciate it if you can fill it up as soon as you can and give it to me. I want to to do our church bulletin by next month. So if you can do that to help, I appreciate that. Also, from the ITT, the Intentional Interim Team, we are thinking of forming a committee to as a like a liaison for the church to the for the refugee issues in the community. We're asking for a couple of people to lead this committee. So if you're interested, I am the I liaise with the transition team. So if you're interested, we'll give you a bit more information on that. And also just to recognize the our visitor, Yui, Julie, and Mao Ben at the back. Thank you for visiting us. It's just joy of having been welcomed. Most of my the announcements are already in church bulletin, so I'm just trying to highlight them. Is there anything else that you would like the church to know? Yes, Franklin.
Morning, Church. Just a quick update about Preeti. She's doing good. She's into her ninth month, so she's got another 3 weeks to go. Keep her in our prayers. I'm flying back to India on October 30, the last week of this month. So keep me in your prayers as well as I go back to see the family and Preeti. So especially for Preeti, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Franklin.
I'm hoping you all received something like this in your bulletins. Would you like to join a cell group? Yeah? Oh, good, good, good. If you haven't, we've got extras here. We've had some others offer their homes and themselves as facilitators, and we're in the process of forming a couple more cell groups and Bible studies and looking to see who would like to be in one and where you live so that we can, you know, make a local group. Could you please fill this out and pop it even in the offering would be really handy. So all it's asking you is we have a couple of Bible studies already going, the Wynnum Vale one and up at St Albans. And so it's just a few questions. Do you go to the Wynnum Vale one? Yes. Do you go to the St Albans one? Yes. No. Whatever. Would you like to join a cell group in your local area? If you don't go to either of these and you would like to join a cell group, please put yes and pop your name and contact number there and we will be onto it. This is very exciting. We're really looking forward to getting these going. Thanks. Yeah, and pop it in the offering. If you have a pen that might be available for others who don't have a pen, if we could just be attentive and mindful and share them round so we can get it filled out and pop that in the offering when it comes round, that'd be great. Thank you.
Also, this week we have, it was Rick Harris' anniversary passing last week, and Mel is just going to offer some lunch for us as well, including with the breakfast, just to remember Rick Harris. All right. Is there anything else? Let's continue worshiping the Lord. Joseph. Yes, sorry, Joseph.
So this week for youth group, we're going to be doing a combined youth group with Westgate, and we'll be doing a laser tag skirmish and tenpin bowling game up at High Point. For more details, just contact me or Brian.
Nelia, we're glad to have you back with us today. You've been in our hearts. We'll pray for you a little later on. A few weeks ago, maybe longer, how many weeks has it been, Paul? We were graced with the presence of a wonderful new friend. Paul, can I invite you up here? Come with me. Come here. Paul hasn't been with us for long, but he's returning to the land of the long white cloud, Aotearoa, New Zealand, specifically Rotorua, in the wee hours of tomorrow morning. And before he left, he's asked to have a few moments to share with all of us. Paul.
Thank you, Bronwyn. I just want to thank you for welcoming into your church and your family. It's been an interesting journey. For those who don't know, about a year ago, I said to my family I didn't want anything more to do with them. I wanted to live another lifestyle. And I turned my back on God. About 5 months ago, I came to Melbourne to do exactly that. But God had other plans, and I couldn't find work, and it was getting a bit desperate, and so I gave my life back to Jesus. And from that point on, things, what I wanted and what God wanted were two different things. So, I mean, I stand here by the grace of God. I'm going home tomorrow by the grace of God to my family. And I'm just quite excited to go back home. I mean, it's been an interesting journey. There's my family up there. It's taken a couple of years ago. So yeah, I'm excited to be going home. And again, just thank you for making me feel part of your church, and I want to be adopted by your church. So yeah, cool.
Shall we send this dear friend off with a prayer and a blessing? Loving God, we stand together with our dear friend this morning, and we are grateful to have crossed paths with another of your beloved children. Paul leaves us today, and we pray that in his journeying with you, may he never lose his sense of direction. Never lose sight of the landmark toward which he travels. And should cloud or rain, discouragement or setbacks make his vision hard, may he draw ever closer to you, so that his feet may tread in your footsteps, your words be his encouragement, and your love his protection against any storms that may come. Your light is the only light he needs as he travels through the mystery of life. May your voice be the loudest voice he hears that leads him to the place where he should be. May your presence be the company he needs as he walks this narrow road. And may your love and delight in him be his warmth to help him on his way. Paul leaves us today, but you are before him, behind him, and beside him always. For this, and for our friend Paul, we thank you. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray our prayers for others together, lifting up our spoken and silent prayers to God. Dear God, you are the centre of our being. Help us to radiate your love and kindness to all we meet. Dear God, we pray for our church here in the heart of Footscray and its diversity of cultures. We give thanks for the life and witness of our pastors, Rowena and Bron, for their spiritual guidance, integrity and leadership. Bless them on their journey. We pray for our deacons, secretary, treasurer, and our transition team. God, give them guidance, wisdom, and strength of character to undertake your work here at Footscray Baptist. We give thanks for the children and youth of our church, for their inquisitive minds and the hunger for spiritual growth. Bless them on their journey of discovery and bless all who journey with them. God, we ask that you hold close all members of our church family suffering. May your loving arms surround and comfort them in their time of need. Dear God, we think of Beth in this time with her daughter being unwell. Would each and every person here this morning keep Beth and her daughter in your prayers? Also, Winnie and her mum, who's unwell. Keep Lisa in your prayers for her return to good health. We think of Mel and her family at this time of sadness. We give thanks for the safe return of Nelia. God bless all those suffering and in need, and bless their communities of support. Give them strength and courage for the tasks they need to undertake in support of others. Dear God, we pray for your churches throughout the world, their leaders and the work they undertake in your name, Lord. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel. We give thanks and pray for all people involved and dedicated in mission, and also all aid organisations throughout the world assisting people in need. We pray for our friends Rod and Helen Bensley and their work in Papua. For Baptist World Aid SAO program, we pray for the children, for William in Uganda and Sheena May in the Philippines. We pray for their families and communities. Bless all the precious children throughout our world. Dear God, we pray for all people throughout the world suffering because of man-made disasters, natural disasters, and lack of care of our precious creation. God, be with all who suffer. Help your people to display your compassion to all in need. Give them guidance and generosity and sharing of resources to assist their fellow man. We pray for world government leaders. Give them the spirit of justice and truth. Grant to our governments and all who serve in public life wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Protect them from corruption and the temptation of self-serving. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land to work together in trust, to seek the common good, that all lands may be a secure home for all its people and strive for equality for all. We lift all our prayers to you, God. Father, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We will now praise God with our monetary offering this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, church. At the back of the bulletin, you will be able to see the status of our operate, just to give you an idea of how much do we have compared to our budget. And I would like to thank everyone for their generosity. We now have a positive figure as of 30th of September. But I would still encourage you to give, to keep up with our budget. I would be reading a commentary in Max Lucado's CEB version of the Bible. The text for this is on Nehemiah 10:28-39 and Deuteronomy 14:23. It's on tithing. You don't give for God's sake, you give for your sake. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. How does tithing teach you? Consider the simple act of writing a check for the offering. First, you enter the date. Already you are reminded that you are a time-bound creature, and every possession you have will rust or burn. Best to give it while you can. Best to give it while you can. Then you enter the name of the one to whom you are giving the money. If the bank would cash it, you'd write God. But they won't if you write God. So you write the name of the church or group that has earned your trust. In this case, you write the name of Footscray Baptist Church. Next comes the amount. The moment of truth. You're more than a person with a checkbook. You're David, placing a stone in the sling. You're Peter, 1 foot on the boat and 1 foot on the lake. You're a little boy in a big crowd. A picnic lunch is all the teacher needs, but it's all what you have. What will you do? What will you do? Sling the stone? Take the step? Or give the meal? Careful now. Don't move too quickly. Think. You aren't just entering an amount. You are making a confession. You are making a confession to God. A confession that God owns it all anyway. And then the line in the lower left-hand corner on which you write what the check is for. Hard to know what to put, how much to put. It's for the light bills and the worship materials. It's for the air conditioning or heater, a little bit of outreach, mission, or for Bron or Rowena's salary, or for our pastor's salary, future pastor. We are now looking for our permanent pastor. Better yet, it's partial payment for what the church has done to help you raise your family. Keep your own priorities sorted. Time you in for this, for to his ever nearness. Or perhaps, best yet, it's for you. The check you are drawing is, it's for you. It's moment for you to clip yet another strand from the rope of earth so that when he returns, you won't be tied up. This part of our service is for our members. If you are a newcomer to our church, you are not obliged to do so, but if you do, we are very much thankful for your generosity. Can I call on the steward, please?
Neo, have we got any friends today? Raf! Neo, it's you and me, mate. Come on. Come and sit down here, keep me company. If it's going to be just the two of us. No, you've got to sit up here. You've got to share the load, mate. You've got to share the load. All right, well, we'll just talk to them then, seeing as it's just you and me. Cup of tea? Drink? Ice cream? Today, Kathy, as we mentioned before, Kathy's going to be speaking to us about character. Neo, do you ever get the sense that church is more about the adults than the kids? He's very diplomatic, isn't he? I would just like to say that this is not the case with Jesus. Like, even if this is all, you know, a bit adult-y, most of it and stuff, Jesus was not just into adults. In fact, I have a feeling that Jesus might have actually preferred hanging out with the kids more than the adults, just quietly. This is putting you on the spot, because it's just you and me. Do you know any stuff that Jesus said about kids when he was on earth?
Nope.
Can you think of any stories where he was hanging out with kids?
No.
Really? There was this time, and the kids wanted to hang out with him, but his disciples, because they were so important. Yeah, what happened? Do you remember? You've got a lot of weight on your shoulders this morning, my friend. He told them to be quiet. He shut them up. And he said, well, actually, I'd really like to hang out with the kids. Come on, kids. He said some really full-on things. In all seriousness, I'm still coming to terms with something that he said, because he said it more than once. He kept saying that if we grown-ups want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to come like the kids, like the children. And that's a pretty big statement, especially seeing as he said it on a few occasions. That's just a bit of food for thought for us oldies. There's this other guy that was in the Bible that you may know. You know Paul in the Bible? Have you heard any stories about Paul? He wrote a lot of the Bible, actually. A lot of the New Testament were letters that he wrote. And he had this young guy who was a friend of his, and his name was Timothy. And he was writing to Timothy. There's actually two books called Timothy, and he was writing, Okay, so this is Paul writing to this young dude, Timothy, and he was asking Timothy to actually take on quite a lot of responsibility and stuff. And Tim's like, probably a bit young for this, and there might be someone else who can do it better than me. And there's a famous verse. Have you heard of this verse, Neo? When Paul said to Timothy, he goes, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. But you, my young friend Neo, and all of our other young guys who aren't here today, you set an example for us oldies. You set an example for other followers by what you say and do, as well as by your love, faith, and purity. Neo, my young friend, we're looking to you for an example, because there is something about you and something about your love for Jesus that we need to learn from, and that's going to help us to find God. And we know it because he told us. So no pressure at all, but we're relying on you. I've got something really fun down here to do if you want to today, but we can talk about that later. What have we got next? We're going to sing a song. Neo, I thank you for your friendship and for sitting with me this morning. You can hang down here if you want, or I'll come and grab you later. Just before we hear from Kathy this morning, let's sing this beautiful song. Oh, I'm sorry, Rodell, I got it in the wrong order, didn't I? Thank you. Let's sing this beautiful, beautiful song, Refresh Us With Love. And as we do, we particularly keep in mind our dear ones, Nelia, Winnie, Alex, who's just returned, and Lucci, Mel, Preethi, you are in our hearts. Let's stand and and sing this song together. Here we go.
Creator God, here is your servant. Live in us as we learn your way. Help us to see.
Our Bible reading this morning is from 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 11. Living as the Lord's followers. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power. When we learned that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness, God made great and marvellous promises so that his nature would become part of us. Then we could escape our evil desires and corrupt influences in this world. Do your best to improve your faith. You can do this by adding goodness, understanding, self-control, patience, devotion to God, concern for others, and love. If you keep growing in this way, it will show that what you know about our Lord Jesus has made our lives useful and meaningful. But if you don't grow, you are like someone who is nearsighted or blind, and you have forgotten that your past sins are forgiven. My friends, you must do all you can to show that God has really chosen and selected you. If you keep on doing this, you won't stumble and fall. Then our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will give you a glorious welcome into his kingdom that will last forever. This is the word of our Lord.
You know, it's always harder talking to people you know than people you don't know. So if I'm a bit nervous, it's because I know you all. Oops, I'm going to leave that there. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. As Rowena said earlier, the reason I'm here is due to the fact that back in May of this year, I attended a Baptist Union of Victoria Equip gathering, which was focusing on courageous leadership. And one of the sessions I attended was run by the Reverend Mark Purser, who is a senior pastor at Clovercrest Baptist Church in South Australia. His presentation was entitled Cultivating Character, and I was greatly challenged by what he presented. Now, I happened to mention this to our pastors, and very opportunistically, I thought, they asked me to share what I had learned with the deacons and the members of the transition team. And as it fitted in well with the interim ministry process, our pastors then asked me to present something similar to you as the rest of our church community. So I'm not providing a sermon, I'm not a professional preacher, unlike a couple of other people amongst us, but I hope that what I do share today will actually be a real challenge to us individually, but also as a church community. So let's start by clarifying what integrity is. A dictionary definition is a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values. Incorruptibility, incapable of being bribed or morally corrupted. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for integrity in the Old Testament means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness. And in the New Testament, it means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. With these definitions in mind, I want you to think about someone, or perhaps more than one person, you have met or worked with, or maybe someone you don't even know but you admire them, who you would consider to be a person of great integrity. To help you, I want to share a lovely story of one man who is considered to be a person of great integrity, and that is Mahatma Gandhi. That's his photo. He was a preeminent leader of Indian nationalism in British-ruled India early last century. And here's the story. A mother once brought her child to Gandhi, asking him to tell the young boy not to eat sugar because it was not good for his diet or his developing teeth. Gandhi replied, "I cannot tell him that, but you can bring him back in 1 month." The mother was angry as Gandhi moved on, brushing her aside. She had travelled some distance and had expected this mighty leader to support her parenting. She didn't know what to say, so she left and went home. A month later, she returned, not knowing what to expect. Gandhi took the small child's hands in his own, knelt before him, and tenderly said, "Do not eat sugar, my child. It is not good for you." Then he hugged the little boy and returned him to his mother. The mother, grateful but a bit confused, said, "Why didn't you say that a month ago?" "Well," said Gandhi, "a month ago I was still eating sugar." I just thought that was a gorgeous story of someone with unbelievable integrity. So what is it about these people of integrity that makes you think of them in this way? Maybe if you really think about it, they may not be 100% people of integrity, but compared to others, they look pretty good. I'm sure we can all think of people who reflect anything but integrity. And unfortunately, they are often people that the world would consider successful and even hold very senior and influential positions in various industries. It seems the concept of integrity in our wider world today has become a bit of an old-fashioned virtue. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about being people of integrity, and there are many examples of people of great integrity throughout the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. The Bible's definition of integrity is clearly described in many references, and I've got a few to share with you today. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 35 to 36, Deuteronomy chapter 25, and Proverbs 16, we see that integrity means treating people fairly and honestly. In Exodus chapter 8, we see that integrity is giving your word and keeping it. In Psalm 25, David prays that integrity and uprightness will protect him. In Proverbs chapter 28, we learn that integrity is more valuable than riches. 1 Chronicles and Psalm 7 states that the Lord will test and judge your integrity. Zechariah chapter 8 tells us that the Lord hates lies and lack of integrity. 1 Corinthians 15, we learn that our character can be corrupted by bad company. And 1 Kings, Nehemiah and Psalm 41 teach us that integrity will be rewarded. And I've popped Titus on the bottom because we don't talk about Titus much. But Titus chapter 2 states that your integrity should set an example for others. Now these are just an example. There were so many references referring to integrity that I could have had a whole hour on them. So with these references as a guide, we can see that God wants us to be people of integrity, despite the current cultural, almost negative connotations to such a virtue. So how do we develop and maintain our own integrity? Well, we need to learn to develop personal honesty through self-reflection. We need to stop making excuses and stop blaming other people. To become people of integrity, we need to develop our own moral standards. And what better example do we have as a source of moral standards than God as revealed through Jesus Christ? If we want to become people of integrity, God's standards must become our standards. His values must become our values. We must learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. To do this, we must develop a healthy respect for God. His word must be strongly entrenched in our hearts and in our minds so that it will influence our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes and our words. And we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. We know that. We need God to enable us to live his way through the power of the Holy Spirit. In submitting ourselves to God through his Spirit, we allow God to guide us based on his wise and loving word. Now, at the workshop that I attended, we were challenged to not only focus on being people of integrity ourselves, but to look for this as a critical requirement for our church leaders and in particular our pastors. And that is what I focused my presentation to the deacons and transition team members, and I'd like to share just some of that with you now. All too often we find ourselves impressed by someone's charisma. They might be funny, outgoing, life of the party type people that we are naturally drawn to. Often they are people who have an amazing ability to make everyone think that you are their very best friend. I'm sure we all know people like this. They're great to be around, and there is nothing wrong with having a charismatic personality. We're also drawn to people who we think look nice. This is also a natural thing and not necessarily a bad thing. People can't help being good looking. We all know that, don't we? And it's normal and it's very human to find others attractive. We might also find ourselves attracted or impressed by people who are competent and capable, people who are really good at the tasks that they take on. And again, there is nothing wrong with being capable, and there's nothing wrong with being impressed by other people's capabilities. However, our challenge, and especially our challenge as we appoint leaders among us and as we consider appointing a new senior pastor, is to look beyond the charisma, beyond the capabilities and, of course, indeed the looks, and focus instead on their character. We've already read 2 Peter before, but I just wanted to highlight a few of those verses. And I'm going to read it again, and if you just take note of the words that I've highlighted in blue. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful, ready-made character checklist that we've got at our fingertips? Out of this list, what characteristic do we need to clothe ourselves in? And what characteristics do we think are important to us as a church community in the person we appoint to be our senior pastor? Identifying a person of good character, it's easy enough to do if we consider someone who points people to Jesus first, not themselves. Their lifestyle should be above reproach. They should be a leader in all aspects of their lives, constantly aware of their behaviour and how it will impact others. Now, Mark Purser at this workshop described how often we get it wrong when we focus on competency instead of character first, and he described this as follows. A person of character without any skills can still have potential. They can still learn and develop their skills, and their ministry can be quite fruitful. A person with skills or charisma, but no character, he said, their ministry is sure to fail. And a person with great character and skills can only have a fruitful ministry. And if we go back to the wonderful example we have in Jesus as someone with amazing integrity, we note the following. In Luke chapter 10, we see that Jesus saw putting time aside to pray as incredibly important. We take from this that a godly character will always flow out from a heart that is closely connected to God. Mark in chapter 1 shows us that Jesus chose a time every day to spend time with God. He spent time with God on his own. He took himself away from his usual place so that he wasn't distracted. And when he did this, he prayed, focusing on God and getting fueled for his ministry. Effective and productive leadership is intrinsically linked to not only good character, but also devotion to prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, we learn that a praying leader must be faithful. They must know their place by putting God in control, not themselves. They must be humble, waiting on God to guide and direct, and to put God's agenda ahead of their own. And they must be consistent, and they must be persistent, because leading can be tough at times. So as we look to appoint a new senior pastor, our challenge is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And as followers of Christ ourselves, our challenge is found in Timothy chapter 4. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Amen.
Bit of food for thought. I chose this song to finish after hearing or knowing what Kathy was going to be talking about, because there's so much that we can do to be believers of good character and to change this part of ourselves, and then we hit a wall. And we need God, you know, and I just find myself, and I'm sure you do, just crying out to God, please change me, you know, just please change me. And I guess it's our willingness on our part, but gee, we need him. And that's why I was drawn to this song. Will you, as we come to a close this morning, will you stand and sing this beautiful song together?
And here we are, held in the power of the love of the triune God, the creator of the universe. Jesus, the Lord and Saviour of our lives, and the Holy Spirit who draws us on. Bless you, brothers and sisters, as you go out into the world to love and serve the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you each step of the way. Amen. Amen. Amen.